Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I am your host for the weekend edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report, just issuing a ton of market updates and company updates, and also trying to get all of you, the investors, questions answered regarding any of the more small cap companies that you invest in. I'm kicking off this weekend show with Mike Larson. He is the editor of the Safe Money Report. Joins me on a bi-weekly basis on the show to break down some of the key aspects in terms of data and market moves. This week seems to be all about inflation and that inflation data, the CPI numbers that just blew away estimates. Headline CPI jumped 0.8% month over month. Core rate was up by 0.9%. These are the April numbers. The expectations were 0.2% and 0.3% respectively. The gain in the core rate was the most since 1982. Mike, inflation, at least the data is showing that it's here. Everyone's wondering, is this just transitory? We're not going to know that for at least a few more months. What's your takeaway from that inflation data?
You know, it's funny, I'm listening to your intro there and, looking at this inflation data and thinking about what the Fed's been saying when it comes to transitory and its definition of transitory. And all I could think when I saw the numbers, it's interesting, the word transitory here is supposed to mean temporary, relatively not, unnoteworthy, just sort of a passing thing that doesn't matter. But if you look at the country mile by which the forecasters missed this inflation number, it truly is shocking. I mean, again, you recounted some of the ways in which this is a multi-year, in some cases, multi-decade shock in terms of the size of this inflation jump, relative to history. And I think that, when you look at other data that we've seen recently, for example, on the employment front, with a lot of evidence that companies just can't find workers, there's, job creation missed the mark by quite a large margin as well. There's a lot of suggestion that the Fed really is off target, and frankly, a lot of the mainstream economists are too. The reality is, when you look at how much money has been poured into the markets and the economy on both a monetary and fiscal basis, it's not all that surprising, really, that you're seeing first dramatic asset inflation and now a secondary round of actual real economy inflation. If you look at assets, whether you talk about stocks, whether you talk about risky bonds, commodities, real estate, artwork, high-end booze, sports cards, all this stuff, we've seen dramatic asset inflation, such that here in the U.S., we just had, the existing home sales report for March showed the median price of an existing home rose 17% in the month of March from a year ago. We never even saw an increase that big in the height of the housing bubble in the mid-2000s, which pretty much everybody now admits was the biggest housing bubble in U.S. history. So what's going on? Again, you're printing, borrowing, and spending money at a rate that we've basically never seen in peacetime. The only thing that would be kind of a close equivalent to it is what we saw in World War II. Other than that, that's pretty much it. So, for the Fed to sit there and continue to toe the line and talk about everything being transitory and no, this doesn't matter and we're going to stick to our policies and who cares and so on and so forth, they were already looking increasingly out of touch a few months ago, which we've discussed. Now they look like they're just completely out in left field and not being in tune whatsoever with what I think the markets are seeing, what the economy is seeing, what we're all seeing in our daily lives as well.
So do you think that the Fed is going to react to this number, or is the Fed going to wait for 2-3 months, maybe more of a higher inflation print to at least talk the markets in a different direction?
Well, let's start with the numbers themselves. Again, you mentioned the inflation data was so far out of whack with what expectations were, which is exactly what we saw with the employment data not too long before that. It's just, you know, a short-term thing. We're going to keep watching. We're going to, you know, we wanted to see higher inflation anyway. We're not going to do anything about it, yada, yada, yada. And here's the problem. The markets for the last several months have been willing to shake hands with the Federal Reserve for the mutual benefit of everyone. Wall Street wants to get rich. The Fed is helping them get rich. They're throwing a bunch of platitudes out that it's all for Main Street. You know, Main Street, I'm sure, loves nothing more than not being able to afford a house, medical care, or, you know, a car for that matter, because you probably saw used cars were up 10% on a year-over-year basis. But in any event, you know, Wall Street was willing to play along. But now you have a situation where the Fed isn't even, I think we talked about this before, where the Fed has to throw the bond market a bone, has to say, you know, something like a little more vigilance talk, a little more like, okay, all right, these numbers are stronger than even we thought. So maybe, you know, if this continues, we're going to be a little more vigilant. We're going to take some steps to, you know, calm things down and so on. You know, the bond market needs to see that and needs to hear that. Wall Street, increasingly, in the wake of these kinds of numbers, is going to want to see that. If the Fed doesn't follow through with something along those lines, we're going to see some of these mini tantrums that we've seen a few times as when the bond market sold off earlier this year. We're going to get real ugly real fast. And that's what where the Fed is sort of boxed into here. It's got to signal some kind of vigilance. It's got to throw the bond market a bone. Otherwise, we're going to see interest rates continue to rise and start rising potentially sharply again. And that's going to derail this whole asset market party that Wall Street's been enjoying and the Fed's been able to point to and say, hey, doing anything wrong, this, you know, we'd see market turmoil. We're not. Well, you know, you're starting to see that. And that tells you that the markets are getting a little more rebellious, if you will.
So an argument being, if inflation starts to run higher, is that the Fed does have tools to calm inflation. Look at how low interest rates already are. Look at how much money they're printing. Do you agree with that statement that the Fed does have tools so that if inflation runs too hot, they will be able to step in and control it?
You know, it's not that the Fed doesn't have tools. It's that the Fed is too weak at the knees to use them. I mean, if you look back at the last cycle, forget COVID for a minute, go back to where we were, you know, 2015, or even all the way back to 2013. You know, Ben Bernanke let a few words slip in Congress about potentially tapering the massive, well, what we thought was a massive amount of QE back then. Markets, our interest rates shot up, stocks went down, and they backtracked and panicked. The Fed then said, no, don't worry. And Janet Yellen didn't start hiking interest rates till all the way in December of 2015. Then in that rate hiking cycle, they only got up to about 2.5%, and they spread those hikes out over a longer period of time than in any modern Fed interest rate hiking cycle in the preceding four decades. I went back and ran all the numbers going back to the late 1970s. So that was back then, even before anybody heard of COVID, they were afraid of their own shadow. They pushed their first hike way out into the future, and the hiking cycle was drawn out even more to the point that they could only get in about 225 basis points of hikes before they gave up and threw in the towel. Now, in the wake of COVID and what's going on here, you have an even more sort of liberal, easy money-minded Federal Reserve that has said, we're going to not only keep interest rates low forever, we're not even thinking about raising them. We're going to keep to this forecast, even if inflation gets above 2%. And yet, the Fed is not taking advantage of this, start singing a different tune.
So, Mike, taking this inflation data and really what I think a number of people were expecting, higher inflation, who knows how it's here for, or how long it's here for, but fact of the matter is it's here right now. What markets do you see that impacting? Because on the back of that inflation data, we saw red almost across the board outside of the U.S. dollar and oil that was up that day.
We've talked a little bit about, I mean, kind of the term that I've heard thrown around, and I think it's actually pretty accurate, is the everything bubble. More to the point, the everything bubble in assets. We've seen enormous appreciation in assets of all kinds. I mean, I ran them off earlier, but, you know, stocks, risky bonds, real estate, both in the U.S. and Canada and abroad. You go down the list, all kinds of collectibles, artwork, sports cards. I mean, you know, I'm a New England Patriots fan, and Tom Brady's, one of his cards just sold for more than $2 million. It was like a record price. But you're seeing that across the board. It's not just a few examples.
All right, Mike, good chatting with you. Thanks for kicking off this weekend show. And boy, oh boy, inflation, it was on everybody's mind, but this week definitely hit the forefront as we got that data. Mike, thanks again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Same to you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereports.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. It gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right. Welcome back, continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that first kind of general market overview and recap of the inflation data from Mike Larson. In this segment and the next segment, I'm going to be switching a little bit more focus on the resource sector. I'm chatting now with Robert Sinn, better known as Goldfinger on the CEO.ca website. I've had Robert on the show a couple of times before, and Robert is one of those technicians that, first of all, looks at the broader metals market and also drives down into some of the stocks. Robert, let's just start off with a quick comment on the precious metal. So gold had a volatile week this week, but it did end the week fairly strong. It's right up against that close to 1850 level, but it really looks like gold is setting up this new trading range almost between 1800 and 1850, which is just fine considering how hard of a resistance level that 1800 level was to break through. What's your assessment of the overall health of precious metals, especially gold?
Well, I think you said it best, Corey. I mean, gold is closing the week around 1840. We are in an uptrend quite clearly from the March lows, and we found a new trading range, you know, exactly as you said. So I think silver and gold look very good here. We got silver above the $27 level. That's a level it hasn't been above for an extended period of time in a while. So things are looking good. I mean, it's two steps forward and one step back, very positive and healthy action. I feel like some money is starting to flow into the miners, just starting. It feels like it's very early stages here. But I really like what I'm seeing out there.
Okay, a couple points regarding the daily chart of gold. Gold ran right up to around that 1850 level, and that is almost exactly where that 200-day moving average is. As we're recording this, it's actually at 1854. That moving average is starting to turn down. Obviously, we want to see a break above that 200-day. A, how important is that 200-day moving average in your eyes? And also speak to the general increase in volumes that we've been seeing.
Honestly, I don't think that 200-day is very important at all. I think it's just so sort of psychological, you know, like if anything, it's a flat moving average, which basically is telling you that we're in the middle of the price range the last, year, essentially. We traded up to above 2,000. We traded down under 1,700, and now we're, near 1850. So it doesn't mean a whole lot to me. It just means that we're in the, middle of a price range. I think the more relevant factor is that gold has been making a strong uptrend since the March lows. And, technically speaking, there's clearly some pretty big levels overhead around 1900, and then if we go even farther back around the 1960 level would be a really, really big level where gold ran into heavy selling a couple of times in the last year, but right now we're in a process of an early accumulation process, is what I would call this. And so we're sort of just trying to, build here. And those moving averages will start to turn up over time, but it's not going to happen fast, obviously.
Any downside targets that you could share with us that investors need to be aware of? As optimistic as gold bugs can be right now after that bounce we saw in April, we do still need to be aware of downside risk here. So what are some of the levels you're watching?
Well, I mean, 1750 would be sort of a big line in the sand. I would not want to see gold back under 1750 at this point. And obviously, if we do get back under 1800, that's going to be a psychological, blow, to the market, because we've made so much progress. So if this really is a strong uptrend, the pullbacks, the dips, they should be fairly shallow, right? So that's something that we want to watch. If we got back under 1750, especially on a weekly closing basis, that would be a cause for some worry, and probably would send a lot of the gold miners all the way back to square one again, I would imagine.
So regarding the action in the gold stocks, we are generally continuing to see the larger miners do better than the juniors. I realize some juniors just keep on running and really have bifurcated from the market, but when you take them in a big picture sense, majors doing better than juniors. What do you take away from that environment?
I think that's positive. That's usually how it goes. At the start of a move in the sector, we usually see the large caps, the seniors move first, and then, later in the cycle, so to speak, we see the, juniors, start to really move big as the seniors start to stall out. So it's a very healthy sector sort of action going on right now. And I'm just starting to see in my portfolio some of my juniors start to move up, just in the last week. And that's after, a long period where we were just, treading water or maybe even, going lower in some names. And I've started to see some really nice moves here in the last few days.
I have too, and you know what? There's a lot of work that's going on with these juniors, and if you release good news, you can benefit from it. The market is still selling off somewhat negative drill results, though, quite hard. Now, Robert, I want to talk about a couple site visits that you went on just this week. You visited Excelsior Mining and Northern Vertex Mining, both of their projects in Arizona. Let's start with Excelsior Mining. They've had a little bit of trouble building up their in-situ mining process at their property. What did you see when you went on that site?
I really enjoyed, the Excelsior site visit. It was a pleasure to go to Arizona and sort of see that state again and see the mining projects there. Excelsior is really, I love the project, the technology involved. It's a very clever process that they use for, extracting copper. But as you alluded to, they are having some ramp up issues, and there's a challenge that they've encountered. So they're still extracting copper. They're still essentially mining copper. But at a much lower rate than they envisioned in the feasibility study, and that's what the market is not happy about at all.
All right, Robert, we have to wrap it up here for the radio stations, but you know what? We are going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about the other site visit you went on at Northern Vertex. To hear that full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com. Everyone, I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
U.S. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Our companies lifting mask mandates for customers. Public supermarkets no longer requiring masks starting Saturday. Walmart, Costco, Sam's Club, and Trader Joe's also lifting mandates. Masks will still be required, though, or mandated by state or local governments. Meanwhile, more proof out Friday that COVID vaccines work. A new CDC study shows the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines to be 94% effective at preventing symptoms from developing. The White House dealing with concerns over the economy. A University of Michigan study on Friday shows consumer sentiment down this month to a three-month low. Inflation thought to be one reason for the negative outlook after a rise in the consumer price index. White House economic advisor Cecilia Rouse, though, says rising prices can be misleading.
So those prices are increasing because we were at unusual lows because of the pandemic. They are rebounding as the economy starts to heal. But many of those sectors are actually not even back to where they were before.
That Michigan study also finds consumers more pessimistic about their economic situation now and in the future than they have been in over a decade. This is USA Radio News. McDonald's looking for ways to get more workers. Tim Berg has more.
McDonald's is raising hourly wages by 10% as the fast food chain moves to hire 10,000 workers in the United States. Entry-level employees at company-owned locations will make around $11 to $17 per hour. Some shift managers can make up to $20 an hour. McDonald's saying the move is a response to the challenging hiring environment amid the pandemic. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Border officials warning people in Mexico that crossing the U.S. border illegally could have deadly consequences this summer. The warning this week coming as the number of illegal border crossings rises, along with desert temperatures. A border official says those crossing illegally this time of year put their lives in incredible peril. Republicans working on another infrastructure plan. President Biden asking GOP lawmakers to present a plan by Tuesday. This would be the GOP's second counteroffer to Biden's $4 trillion plan. That first plan calling for less than $600 billion in spending. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell saying this week he's willing to go as high as $800 billion. This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, as promised in the last segment, we're going to continue to focus on the resource sector and precious metals mostly. I am chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner over at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, the first thing that's on all the gold investors' minds is the data that came out this week, the higher inflation data finally here. I know that a lot of the gold bugs were waiting for higher inflation data for years, if not decades right now, and we finally got some pretty impressive high inflation numbers, and we saw a very kind of choppy reaction for gold on the back end of that. When the numbers were released on Wednesday, gold dropped, but pretty quickly recovered through Thursday and Friday, and has really set up this trading range, it seems like, in that 1800 to 1850 level. Now, one thing to consider, that trading range has really only been in place now for about 5 or 6 trading days. But, Jeff, what was your takeaway from that inflation data and the reaction from the gold market?
There are several things. First off, you know, we looked at the gold price decline on Wednesday in the face of the CPI numbers, and we said, okay, gold prices are declining because interest rates are rising. And interest rates had actually gotten back up to, like, the 10-year rate was, like, back up to 1.69%. So we thought that gold was reacting to the interest rate. And one of the things that you'll see sometimes is when inflation rises, investors will say, okay, this is going to get out of hand and the Fed can't control it, and so I'm going to buy gold. But other times you see investors will say, okay, inflation is rising, but I think the Fed can control it, and therefore I don't need to buy gold. And I think that what you saw on Wednesday and Thursday was that interest rates rose, and people were saying, okay, inflation is rising, but the interest rates are rising too, so the Fed probably can control this. And that was reinforced by the fact that last week, Janet Yellen and Jerome Powell and other people were saying, look, there is going to be a spike in inflation numbers in the data that comes out, and it's going to be transitory. And, you know, we're coming out of a deep recession. A lot of people have money stacked up. They're going to start buying things. The supply chains have not been really re-oiled, so there's going to be a lot of friction just getting stuff from point A to, you know, from producers to consumers, whether it's food or manufactured products or anything else, you know. There'll be some static, and that's going to cause us some of the inflationary pressures, but it's transitory. So I think that when the inflation numbers came out, there were a number of things working against them pushing up gold prices. One was investors had been pre-warned. They saw it coming. They understood what it was. They saw it as transitory. Second thing was that it's, you know, the old buy on the rumor, sell on the news. Last week, the price of gold rose $55 or so because people were talking about how there was going to be this transitory spike in inflation. And then the gold price fell about $25 when the inflation numbers came out. So anybody who bought when Yellen was saying, hey, watch out for higher inflation figures, was still $25 to the good, right? Buy on the rumors, sell on the news. So I think that that was one of the things. And then the third one was the interest rate. I mean, people just looked at the interest rate rising and saying, okay, I don't know how they do it, but I think that the Fed has the capacity to control this. And so this is probably a transitory thing, and I don't really need to worry about inflation. You know, that was my take on it.
Jeff, a lot of people are focusing on this transitory term, and quite frankly, we're not going to know if this inflation is transitory or not until a year or two down the road. But what factors are you going to be watching to try to give yourself a little heads up or a little foresight into the fact of, is inflation going to stick around, or is it truly going to be transitory?
I think that, first off, I don't think it's going to take a year or two. And in fact, you know, one of the things with the inflation figures is you're looking at April 2021 compared to April 2020, when everything was shut down. You know, oil was $0 a barrel in Cushing for a day. You know, you had extremely weak prices and weak demand a year ago. So a year from now, people are going to be looking at April 2022 compared to April 2021, say, oh, my God, we have deflationary problems here. But in the interim, I mean, really over the next 2 or 3 months, you're going to be, you know, and we watch it. And one of the things that was very interesting this week is both the CPI and the PPI, the core inflation figures were higher than the headline figures. So headline, which includes the more volatile food and energy, actually rose less in April than the core inflation for everything else. And that was partly because in March, energy prices had shot up double-digit levels, and they were coming off in April. So we're going to watch all of those individual components to the aggregate indices, CPI and PPI, to see what's happening. And our expectation is that you'll see inflation moderate over the next several months. So it's really going to be July, August, September when we have a better idea of how transitory the high April figures were.
Now, Jeff, what about also the comparison that I think we need to watch over is that how the gold price is moving compared to U.S. equity markets, because both fell on that inflation data and both rebounded very strongly at the tail end of the week. You could even argue that the markets rebounded better than the gold price. And that continues to be one of the issues, I think, is that equity markets have been performing better than gold over a longer term time frame. What's the balance here and what is important to watch for?
Well, yeah, the balance is that you shouldn't take all your money out of the stock market and put it in gold. Yeah, we never advise let people do that. And, you know, I remember in March of 2008 when the gold price went over $1,000, the Sunday New York Times was talking to about investors buying gold. On the front page, they had a carpenter in Iowa who had never bought gold, and he had taken all of his money out of the bank and put it into gold at $1,000 an ounce. And, you know, within a month or two, the price was down to $900. And he was probably feeling like a schmuck. Of course, now, you know, a year later, the price was $1,200, and he was good if he held on to it. You know, so I think the bottom line that is that, you know, the stock market is strong, and the gold price is good, too. And if you look at what's happening, I mean, you know, people say, well, what about inflation, Jeff? You don't seem to be worried about inflation. What about all this monetary accommodation and money creation and all of the payouts that the on a fiscal basis that the government, not only in the United States but around the world, are doing? That inflation is showing up in stocks and bonds and to some extent in gold and silver. It's really a financial asset inflation that you're seeing, also real estate. You know, one of the problems with real estate, and you look at this in Canada, you look at it in the United States, and, yeah, a lot of people are buying houses, but a lot of people buying houses are actually real estate funds. And there's a tremendous amount of money that's come into the financial markets, and it's not going into general price inflation. It's going into financial asset inflation, and real estate has become a financial asset. So our expectation is the stock market continues to do well because there's this tremendous amount of money chasing yields, and there's this view that, hey, you know, the money's going to keep coming so we can keep doing that. That said, you've got any number of institutional investors who are very much nervous because they realize that the increase in the stock market, really since 2010, it's been almost like a machine just putting that money into the stock market, driving it up, and then you have decapitalization of the companies, which is not good for the economy, but it's very good for the shareholders and the CEOs. So you have a lot of reasons to be nervous about a stock market with a 45 or whatever it is price-to-earnings ratio right now. So that actually then spills over into gold because you have any number of institutional investors and family offices saying, gee, I'm really wealthy because the stock market has just been pushed higher and higher and higher by these financial shenanigans, and at some point it's going to crack.
Jeff, we're going to wrap it up here. I thank you for your insights into the precious metals. It was another interesting week, especially on the back of that inflation data. Jeff, thanks again for your time. We'll chat again in another few weeks. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
All right, here we are wrapping up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we're switching focus a little bit to highlight a company that I've been bringing on the show over the past couple of months that is in the resource sector, but also focused a bit more on this new battery technology. I am chatting with GMG, or Graphene Manufacturing Group, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GMG. I'm chatting with Craig Nickel, founder and CEO. Now, Craig, last time I had you on the show, we were talking about a new program in partnership with the University of Queensland to develop some of these graphene aluminum ion batteries. Now, we talked about that just a couple weeks ago, and earlier this week on May 11th, we have some news on some of the performance of these batteries. Now, these are coin cell prototypes. There is a table within this news release that the main categories being energy density, power density, and calculated time to fully charge an average phone battery. You're highlighting the batteries that you guys are making here as really winning out on all these categories. But what's important to take away from some of this data, especially for people that don't quite understand the nuances of what you're actually testing for in terms of batteries?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. It's really good to be back on. The batteries are very complex, and I think it's normally takes a whole page to specify what a battery can do. Probably a little known fact is the faster you charge a battery, generally the less energy it will store. And I think, therefore, people can get a bit suspicious about fast charging batteries because they want to know how much energy it can store. And I think the thing that this press release on our performance for our battery tech demonstrates is that it is a very fast charging battery. Prototypes that we've done, but it actually also has a quite high energy density compared to industry norms, or relatively competitive energy densities. And that's, I think, the important point to take from this is that we have now testing data which shows it's charging somewhere 60 times faster than a normal lithium-ion battery, and it still has very comparative energy density, so it can hold that charge even though it's being charged very, very fast. And that's a game changer in the industry, particularly when this is not made out of lithium, there's no cobalt, there's no manganese, there's not even copper in this battery. It's just our graphene, which we cracked from natural gas, and aluminium. And that is a huge game changer for the supply chain as well. So there's a few game changers in this, but the one point that we wanted to make sure and that was clear in this table was we did a calculation of how long it would normally take to charge a phone battery. And this is a phone battery that we normally see in your common personal phone. And it's you're looking at somewhere between a minute to 5 minutes. Depends on how fast you want to charge it. And then you still have very good energy density. So that means it will last still a very quite long time, even with that fast charging.
Okay, so Craig, clearly the importance here is on the speed of charging for these batteries. But when you are charging them, do you need any certain hardware or systems?
Yeah, I think that will be something to work through. Obviously, the bigger the current, in the end, what you need to do is have a bigger wire that's charging it. So eventually, we see this battery, we hope to have it. So the battery will no longer be the critical point that you can't charge past. It'll start to be the point that it can take whatever the infrastructure, the power plug, the fast car charger can charge, and then more. And then you're back onto, well, how fast can we charge it reliably with the phone charging cable or with the fast car charger? And that means it's no longer the piece of equipment which is holding back the charging. That's what's really exciting about this. It puts charging a battery in a very different space, which is really quite exciting.
When it comes to further tests, these are very early on tests, right? As I mentioned, you guys just came up with that partnership with the University of Queensland at about the middle of April. What further developments do we need to look out for these batteries?
Yeah, it's a great question, great point. So we're working only on a cathode material in a coin cell. So the first thing we're going to work on is our coin cell commercial prototypes, and we aim to bring them to people to test, to customers, hopefully in the next 6 months. That's really what we're going to do. And these are directly replaceable coin cells. So your previous lithium ones that you would put in your various different personal appliances, we'll put ours in. And there's some work to be done to get to that. Currently our voltage is 1.7 volts, which is just standard differential voltage that you get when you make an aluminium-ion battery. So we're going through some work to get that up to out at around 3.5 to 4 volts, and we've got some good work going through that. That will then enable people to test them and swap them out, see how fast they can charge, and then see how long they can last comparative to the current lithium ones in the market. Now, once we're there with that and we get customer results back, that'll really then give us some more data to come out on this, because it will clearly show what we can do and like-for-like comparison in the market. Which, as I said, is quite complex for batteries. You've got to do a lot of testing to really make sure all of your battery information is correct, and it can be comparative and make sense. So that's what we're going through over the next 6 months.
Now, getting a product for consumer testing, what's that going to look like? If your goal is by the end of the year, it sounds like you still have a lot of testing to do and development. What needs to happen then to make that time frame work?
Yeah, well, we're chewing off hopefully a sector which is a bit easier to get to. So coin cells are pretty easy to replace. There's a lot of problems with existing coin cells. Lithium coin cells, for instance, can't be flown around in planes, especially in Australia. In some international routes, you might be able to do it, but you can't put them in bulk containers in planes. You need to ship them because of the risk of a fire and safety hazards. So there's certainly some demand for what we could do in this space for these types of batteries. And, of course, what we're saying is we'll be having some commercial prototypes available in 6 months, which we think is fine. We've got a team focused on this, and we have other people coming in from industry to help us do the testing. And then what we'll then do is, once we've got that, we'll come out with, well, this is where our performance data is. And then, you know, we'll go through that with customers. So and then hopefully we'll going to be able to go into some kind of production facility if everything measures up on multiple fronts. Obviously, once you've got that working, there is a huge, there will be, I'm sure, a huge push to say, well, what else from the company, what else can we put this into? For instance, laptops or phones and others, all sorts of personal appliances. And that is just a process of making a pouch pack. So a pouch pack is a folded cathode and electrode material, and it's then put folded together. And it's the same technology that's sitting in a coin cell, except it's much larger and therefore carries more energy. And then that would then be the next step. We would have that tested by our, you know, some potential customers and see what people think of that. And then that would then spur another space for us to show more performance data, because performance data for pouch packs is actually different to performance data for coin cells. You've just got different weights, and you've got different packaging, and you've got different charging requirements and energy requirements. So it's going to be a busy, and that'll take another 18 months or so. So by the end of 2022, we aim to have a commercial prototype out there for some kind of pouch pack. We've got to define what that will be. So we've got a busy one and a half years, to say the least, but we're really excited about it, and we've got the team and the focus and the knowledge. And so, you know, this really does look like a fantastic 1.5 years in front of us to do some really good work.
All right, Craig, I really appreciate the update. For everybody, if you have any questions regarding anything that GMG is working on here, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. That goes for all the company updates that I provided throughout this week. Please be sure to listen to those on our website or on our podcast. Everybody, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for tuning in this weekend, and stick around for the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCN. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right. We cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.